how does the herd work here?
Well, as you can see, there's all different ages of animals in here. You know, there's some older cows, and they pretty much run the show here. You know, and there's these yearling calves here, and we'll be expecting some new calves here just within the next month or so. We'll start having calves, and most of these mature cows are pregnant. And they come from different places. We've brought them in from all over the country, actually. Wind Cave, some have come from Wind Cave National Park, Badlands National Park, Fort Niobrara, even Fort Wingate. We got some of those when the state disbanded that herd. A lot of them have been born and raised here, but, you know, for genetic diversity, you know, occasionally we get some from different places. We've got a breeding bull there from Taos Pueblo, and a couple of cows from Taos Pueblo. We've traded animals with Powaki Pueblo, traded animals with the Southern Ute Tribe, Northern Ute Tribe. So they're pretty diverse group here, you know, and we try to keep it that way. We don't want any inbreeding to occur, and you know, it just, for the overall health of the animal, you know, it's good to keep that genetic diversity.
And because, I mean, nature has been interfered with by the government and by regulations, you'll have to keep numbers, and that's how you know. I mean, they'll have tags in their ears, so that's how you know who's the child of who, so you know.
Yeah, right. That's how we keep track of bloodlines and stuff. And the only ones that have ear tags on them are just the females.
Oh.
We don't tag any of the bulls because we don't keep that many bulls around. Most of our animals that are slaughtered are 2 to 3 year old bulls, and all the cows and young heifers are kept mostly for breeding stock.
How long do they live? Or
all bison can live quite a while. They mature a lot slower than cattle do. So it takes longer to get one up to the proper size of slaughter. Where in the cattle industry, they'll slaughter steers at a year old, and they can get them fattened up to 800 to 1,000 pounds. And, you know, it takes 2 years to get, 2.5 years even, to get an animal that size. Three-year-olds don't, you know, they'll weigh in about 1,000 pounds, these bulls. So, you know, they mature slower, but they live longer, and the cows will produce calves a lot longer than domesticated cattle will.
How old, like the breeding bull, how old is he? Because he that was the biggest one there, no?
Yeah, we have 3 breeding bulls in here right now. And those 2 big ones are around 8-9 years old right now. And then we have one that's being raised just specifically for that. And he's going on 3 years old. And then we have some other younger bulls in here that we'll hang on to and raise them. They came from Badlands National Park up in South Dakota. And so we'll hang on to 1 or 2 of those, but the majority of the bulls, when they're around 2 years old, we take them out. And we have another area over there where we take all of our meat stock and keep them separated, because it's easier for us to be able to go over there where they're at and round them up, because they're just a small group over there, maybe you know, at the most 10 of them at one time. And it's easier for us to get those out and load them into a trailer rather than have to. Otherwise, we would have to round this whole herd up. And this time of year, when these cows are pregnant with their calves, you know, they're kind of in a delicate state, and we don't want to stress them out. Or after they've had their calves, they're so little that they'll get trampled if we put them into run them into pens, corrals, and that sort of stuff. So that's what one reason we separate those bulls off in the fall when we round these up, or in the winter. We usually do our roundup during the late fall or early winter. And by then the calves are big enough they don't get hurt or trampled, and the cows aren't that pregnant either, so they're not all that stressed out. And then we'll separate out those bulls for each year, and they'll be available over there, so we don't have to even bother these guys here.
Is that one, is that a female that's pregnant? And
yeah, most of these adult cows are pregnant, yeah. They'll start breeding. Some of them will start breeding at 2 years old, some not until they're around 3 years old, something like that. But and the same with the bulls, they become sexually mature around 3 years old.
And cows they're not so fast, but buffalo run fast.
They can outrun a horse. Okay. People don't believe it, but they can outrun a horse, so they're very fast. They can kick real fast. So, and they know where the tips of those horns are at, too. Even though they curl, those cows have got horns that curl in towards the top of their head. They know where the tips of those are at, and they can put them just about wherever they want. If they feel threatened. I've seen them fling dogs through the air. And they, they pretty much band together and look out after each other. When the calves are born, anything that looks like it might be a threat to the calves, then these cows will just circle around them. But when they're put into pens or corrals and pens, that's a whole nother story. They'll go after each other, and they'll maul each other and gore each other. And
it's like chickens, no? They can't, no. I mean, or people too. Like, we can't live too close. Or maybe we can, I don't know.
But they have their pecking order here. And all this is pretty much breeding stock here.
And are you going to continue to try to expand? But I guess a lot of it depends on how more land, like if there's...
Yeah, land base is an issue. And supplemental feed, we have to grow enough of that to provide for them. We try not to buy any of that, just for the fact that it can get pretty expensive. And, we have plenty of land here to grow enough supplemental feed for them. And, we prefer to do it that way. So we try to stay away from buying feed for them. And, but at some point we have to have enough animals to where enough money is generated through meat sales and product sales to where it supports the herd, it supports us, the people that have to take care of the herd, and all the other business that goes along with it. So we have to have enough animals here to where we can generate enough money to where it's a self-sustaining herd. So too few of them, and we end up just raising them as pets, almost being zookeepers. Too many of them, it impacts the land too much, and we run out of room for them. So it's kind of a balancing act that we have to create here in order for everything to be self-sufficient. And if we break even, then we're successful. We're, like I said earlier, we're not into this to generate big profits and fill our pockets. It's to build a sustainable food source for the tribe, and so there again, we have to keep that balance.
I don't know if, I mean, I don't know if you want to talk about this or at all, or, I mean, I know that there was a prophecy about white buffalo calf woman coming back, and that she, that the white buffalo came, I think, maybe 10 years ago. Is mm-hmm. Was that within anybody in the cooperative or?
Yeah, that's, you know, a lot of Plains tribes, you know, have that in their, you know, in their tradition, I guess, their prophecies, I guess, you know. Not so much here in the Southwest, you know. You know, there were prophecies made, you know, by some of the Northern Plains tribes, you know, that one of these days, you know, the buffalo, you know, they'll return, you know, that they'll be brought back by the buffalo people, you know, and I think that's kind of the way a lot of us within the co-op feel, you know, that you know, they were, must have been talking about us, you know, because we're the ones that are bringing them back to our reservations and trying to restore them back to into our culture and our tribal lands. So, you know, a lot of us feel like, you know, that we're those ones that they were talking about. We're the buffalo people, you know, are bringing them back. So, you know, that makes us feel good, you know, thinking those terms. You know, I think it's more realistic, you know, than some, you know, prophecy, you know. You know how people tend to exaggerate those a little bit, you know, and make them more than what they really are, you know. So, you know, I think it just puts it in more realistic setting for everybody, you know, that, you know, we're the ones that perhaps they were talking about, not some magical, mythical person that comes along, you know, descends out of the sky and brings, you know, it's, you know, in this manner, I guess, you know, that they're being brought back.
Thank you for bringing me out here, for letting me come out here.
What it means to be a New Mexican. Well, I guess for me, you know, that means being Native American also, because there's such a high population of Native Americans here in New Mexico. So, you know, along those lines, you know, there's a lot of culture, you know, that's still intact within the different tribes here in New Mexico. And so there's a big sense of devotion to community and the tribe and the people here. So, you know, we haven't, you know, in a lot of places in this country, we've seen people lose their cultures and really have no identity left other than they're Americans, and, you know, they don't really have an idea of where they come from, or, you know, what their cultures are, or their languages, or any of that stuff. So I guess to me, you know, that being New Mexican is, you know, that's pretty much the way I would define it for myself and my family also.
Thank you. And if there's anything else that you want to say, and just because I have a microphone, so if you want to say it, I can record it and put it in.
No, that's pretty much it, I guess.
Okay. Thank you.